Of all the mistakes we make, this is the one we rationalize the most. We could probably pass a lie detector test because we are so convinced that we did the right thing. A Psalm of Balm for the Mistaken. Psalm 31 was written, I believe, on a blue day in David's life. As we look at this psalm, we're going to see that he was broken and disappointed. He most likely wrote it on the heels of a mistake, maybe one he had made out of panic. Maybe it was one that was related to his home. Perhaps shortly after having a blind spot pointed out, he said, "In thee, O Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be ashamed. In thy righteousness deliver me. Incline thine ear to me, rescue me quickly. Be thou to me a rock of strength, of stronghold to save me. For thou art my rock and my fortress. For thy name's sake thou wilt lead me and guide me. Into thy hand I commit my spirit." Familiar words? Sure, those last six were Jesus' very words as he was dying on Calvary. Just before he gave up his spirit, he said to God, "To you I commit my spirit." It was the lowest point, physically and emotionally, in the entire life of the Messiah. But let's apply all this to our post-mistake depression periods in life. You'll discover, after the grave and painful ramifications of making a mistake, that it is only to God that you can commit your spirit at that time. No other person can give the comfort you need. On the heels of a mistake, get on your knees, fall before God, and lay out your shame and humiliation. No one else can heal you of that sense of shame and self-disappointment. The old songwriter was right. No one understands like Jesus. No one. Now, from that perspective, let us observe how God views us when we've made those mistakes. "I hate those who regard vain idols, but I trust in the Lord. I will rejoice and be glad in thy loving kindness, because thou hast seen my affliction. Thou hast known the troubles of my soul." Psalm 31, verses 6 and 7. First, God views us realistically. It is very helpful and important to remember that God sees us as we really are. We work so hard sometimes to keep the full truth from other people for fear they will not understand. We burn up all kinds of emotional energy, keeping our real selves from one another. Mark Twain once wrote, "Everyone is a moon and has a dark side, which he never shows to anybody." But God knows that dark side. He sees it plainly. David said, "I rejoice because you are realistic, Lord, when you see me. You know my bent. You know my tendencies. You know my sense of panic, my fears. You know how I was reared. You know the bad habits I have picked up. You know my track record. You also know my intentions, not just my actions. You have seen my affliction." The second thing I notice about God is that he views us thoroughly. "Thou hast seen my affliction, thou hast known the troubles of my soul." Psalm 31, verse 7. I wonder if that was the place that old Negro spiritual got its start. "Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Nobody knows but Jesus." You see, afflictions have to do with externals. Troubles have to do with internals. "Lord, you see the whole world of affliction, and you feel with me the trouble down inside." Remember that great statement regarding our Savior's understanding heart? "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses." Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. There is great comfort in those words. But have you ever read two verses before that one? Verse 13 says that nothing is hidden from God's sight. Everything is laid bare to his eyes, and still he sympathizes with us. I'll tell you, that fills me with encouragement. Afflicted without and troubled within, mistake-prone though we are, he understands. Seeing us realistically, seeing us thoroughly, How does he treat us?